Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Romans 3:24. Justified freely by His grace. Ephesians 2, verses 5, 8, and 9. By grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:3-7 includes the phrase, that being justified by His grace. Paul was the inspired writer of each of these phrases. The theme is salvation by the grace of God, accrediting the salvation of man to God. Anyone who believes the Bible believes that man is saved by grace. Now, Paul had been preaching between 20 and 25 years at this time. He had been on 3 missionary journeys. He had endured opposition from Jew and Gentile, boldly contending with those who insisted that one must be circumcised to be saved. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit utilizes his vast experience and knowledge and directs him to write these teachings. Indeed, a cardinal plank in the Christian platform is salvation by grace. It's not a question whether we're saved by grace or not, because we are. But we must learn what we're meant to be saved by grace. How are we saved by grace? When are we saved by grace? Unless we understand such things, we shall misunderstand. Now, grace means unmerited favor, receiving an unearned gift, being rewarded on the basis of the merit of another. When we speak of grace, we have in mind God's part in God's plan for saving man. It is that which God has done for man, without which there would be no salvation. The Bible does not teach salvation by grace only. There is no such statement, nor an insinuation in Scripture, as if there was nothing else involved but God's grace. Friend, if salvation was by grace alone, then all would be saved. Because Titus 2 and verse 11 tells us that the grace of God has appeared to all. If some were saved and some were lost, then God would be a respecter of persons, a trait inspired writers repeatedly denied. If anyone was lost, it would be God's fault. Or would it be because of God's inability and inadequacy of His grace to cover sins? But this also is denied in Romans 5 and verse 20. When a person sins, if he received his just due, he would die and suffer eternal punishment for his deed. That man can be saved from sin at all is due to the grace of God. God is under no obligation to the sinner. Whatever provision God has made for man's salvation is due to God's favor extended to man, a favor that man could never earn or deserve. What God has done is not a payment of debt to mankind. As we learn more fully the entire system of salvation, we learn that many elements are involved. It is a system of faith. It's a system of blood. It's a system of works of obedience to the law of Jesus Christ. Just now, in this lesson, we're considering more closely the fact that the system of salvation is one of grace. Now, Paul contrasted salvation by grace with salvation by works or law. And while there are works of obedience commanded in the law of Christ, there are works by which we cannot be saved. Certainly we cannot be saved, but condemned by the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19. Nor are we saved by the works of the law of Moses, Romans 3:20, Galatians 2:16, 5 and verse 4. Our text included the teaching that we're not saved by works of which we can boast, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We're not saved by our own righteousness, Titus 3:3-5. Let us consider an illustration of some of these works. One may be accused of murder and is brought before the proper tribunal. If declared innocent, he deserves to go free, because his works make it so. But if he's found guilty, he may be set free only by the grace of the court, be forgiven, but not because of his own works and their worth. His deed would condemn him. It is the grace of the court that freed him. Regardless of the number of good deeds this man might perform thereafter, he would never make his action of murder a righteous one. And so it is with man in sin. He can never do enough good by his own works of merit to erase the guilt of even one sin. Now, if man never sinned, if he lived perfectly, he would never need the saving blood shed on Calvary. In fact, God would owe him heaven because he deserved it. But Romans 3 tells us that possibility is removed forever. Who could say that there's ever been a day without a sinful word or deed or thought? Who could claim such a thing for his entire lifetime? Our redemption and forgiveness is due to the grace of God, and never apart from it. It is never by the kind of works of our own personal worth or merit. Mankind just simply cannot earn heaven. But does this mean that man has no works of any kind to perform in order to be saved? Indeed not. God's system of grace is also a system of law. We read of God's law in Romans 8 and verse 2, Romans 7, 22, Romans 3, verse 27, James 1, verse 25, Galatians 6, verse 2, Romans 7, 25. Friend, why don't you pay attention to what the Scripture says and quit this malarkey that says we're not under any law? Law must be obeyed. Abraham was saved by works, James 1, verse 21. But what kind of works? Matthew 7, 21 teaches the necessity of our doing the will of God. On Pentecost, Peter told people what they had to do to receive the remission of sins. He further instructed them to save themselves. But now notice, they could not save themselves by themselves. But there was a role that they had to perform in order to be saved. They were not passive in the matter. Christ is the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And while salvation is by grace, it is by grace that is appropriated through faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. And we have access to this grace by faith, Romans 5 and verse 2. Faith itself is a work, Jesus said, John 6, 29. Will you accept his word for that? Or do you turn to your denominational clergyman rather than Christ? To be saved by faith is to be saved by works. And by works we take advantage of the grace God has extended. Faith is a work. It's a work of God because God has commanded it. But it is man that must do the believing. It's man that must exercise that faith. Faith causes a man to work, Galatians 5 and verse 6. Such works of obedience to the law of Christ are motivated by love. Such work makes faith perfect or whole or complete. James 2, 22 through 26 teaches us this. And while we read of different kinds of faith in the Bible, weak faith, dead faith, little faith, perfected faith, great faith. Friend, the faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Paul mentioned at the start and at the finish of that great epistle on grace and faith, the obedience of faith. Romans 1:5, Romans 16, verse 26. There's no conflict between grace and faith and obedience to the law of Christ. So we can see that when one obeys God, he is saved by grace through faith. When a man obeys from the heart that doctrine delivered, he's not trying to earn his way to heaven. He is simply respecting the grace system that includes faith and obedience. When is man saved by grace? It is when he obeys the law of Christ. Saved by faith is appropriating the benefits of the grace of God. All the faith in the world and all the obedience in the world would avail nothing except the grace of God has declared it to be essential. The book of Romans teaches extensively about God's grace. There is great antagonism between grace and sin, and how grace is more abundant than sin, more powerful than sin, able to remove all sin. All of the briars and the thistles, the sickness, the pain, the sorrow, the jealousy, the enmity, the hatred, the war, the bloodshed of fellow man, death and everything evil, exist because of the mighty tide of sin that was unleashed in Eden. No person, except Jesus Christ, has escaped the guilt of sin. He lived perfectly. Hebrews 4:15, 1 Peter 1, and verse 22. Even the Lord was subjected to temptation, but he never yielded to it. The influence and power of sin cannot be measured because of its magnitude. And yet, the grace of God that is offered through Christ, John 1:17, is more abundant, is more powerful, is superior to sin. Grace, as with a mighty sweeping hand, meets this dark onrushing tide of spiritual devastation and death and woe and rolls it back, freeing man from its peril, giving him glory in its stead. Romans 5 and verse 20 we read, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Through sin we lost access to the tree of life, but through Christ we have entrance into the gates of the eternal city. Through sin we spiritually die, being separated from God, but by grace through Christ we are quickened, made alive. Through sin we lost our physical bodies, but by grace we shall receive an incorruptible spiritual body. Through sin we are lost, but by grace we are saved. Regardless of how deep and crimson the stain of sin is, the grace of God is sufficient to blot it out forever. Away forever with the idea that one can become too evil to be saved and could never be forgiven. One may well go so far that he will not heed the call of the gospel, but if one does what he is taught to do in the law of Christ, the grace of God will cover his sin. It covered the slaughter of Christians as committed by Saul of Tarsus. It covered idolaters and adulterers such as at Corinth. It even covered the murderers of the Son of God such as at Pentecost. Friend, there is no such thing as an unpardonable, unforgivable sin when and if the terms of pardon as given in the system of grace are met by an obedient faith. One final point on the grace of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, Paul wrote, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My beloved, God created mankind. He saw man's need of salvation. He provided the system of salvation. He offered salvation to all who had come to him. He is no respecter of persons, Acts 10, 34-35. The need of salvation is universal, and the offer is universally made. The first century Jews never considered salvation to be open to the Gentiles, but considered themselves to be saved simply because they were the fleshly descendants of Abraham. Paul taught that the one who is a child of God, a spiritual Jew, is one who has been spiritually circumcised, the putting away of sin, Ephesians 2, 11-13, rather than those who are physically circumcised as required under the law of Moses. None have reason to boast. None are elected to salvation except on the merit of Christ. All shall be saved the same way. We're lost due to our sins. We can be saved due to the gift of God's Son who shed his blood, by which we can be washed clean. Yes, salvation is by grace, appropriated by faith, a faith that leads us to obey God's law and enables us to reach the saving blood of Christ. And friend, we reach that blood when we obey the command to be baptized, Romans 6, 3 and 4. It is then, it is there, that the grace of God saves us from sin, and we are able to rise to a newness of life. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.